The low thwomp of turbine engines on minimum rotation provided a balm to Narek's troubled thoughts. He was crouching in the troop hold of a Thunderhawk, leaning from one of its open side hatches and surveying Ranos through a pair of magnoculars. Two other gunships followed behind, similarly quietened.
"Any sign?"
grated Amaresh. The word-bearer sat with his long flensing blade in his lap, sharpening the edge. He was a beast, Amaresh, literally, with those horns sprouting from his skull and through his battle helm. One of the touched, and unburdened in the making.
"Many,"
Narek replied, lowering the scopes to signal to Dagon, who was leaning out the opposite side of the transport, looking through his rifle's targeter. The other hunter slowly shook his head.
"Any of our quarry?"
Amaresh pressed, annoyed at Narek's little games.
"I have their trail. It won't be long now."
He voxed fresh coordinates to their pilot, and there was a slight change in engine pitch as the Thunderhawk shifted course. Narek had taken the gunship along with the men. Amaresh, Narek, Vogel, and Sask were all brutal warriors, bladesmen, every one of them. Some had fought in the pits with the 12th, locked swords with the likes of Kargos and Delvarus. That left Dagon, Melak, and Infrik as snipers, along with himself. Infrik had cut out his own tongue, convinced it was babbling dark secrets to him in the night hours and during battle, whereas Melak found speech difficult with the growth of skin colonizing his neck, slowly hardening to a brownish carapace, so said little. The rest, those following in the other two gunships, were less significant to Narek's plans. He knew they were unbalanced men, the seven he had chosen, but mental stability wasn't amongst his criteria for selecting them. He wanted killers, specifically warriors who had slain other legionaries. The tally between this particular group was in the hundreds. That made them uniquely suitable for this mission. With the exception of Dagon, whom he could tolerate, Narek hated every one of these bastards. Elias had cultivated a crop of dishonorable, wretched legionaries. Gone were the days of righteous purpose and holy service. This slow mutation into devilry and aberration was all that was left now. Narek meant to extricate himself from that as soon as he was done with this mission. Never once, not even when his leg was in bloody tatters, had he reneged on an oath. That was not about to change now. As he hung onto the guide rail inside the hold, leaning out a little further and allowing the wind, whipping past, to buffet him and howl around his battle helm, he found he missed the presence of the Fulgurite, and wondered just how the Dark Apostle would subvert its power. Where once there was warmth at his side, a reminder of the existence of the divine, now there was only cold. Narek could feel it creeping further into his body, attaching its talons around his soul. And yet, so far, he had resisted damnation. Something on the darkened skyline got his attention, and he quickly went back to the scopes for a better look.
"There,"
he said, pointing. Vogel got up and went to stand beside him.
"I don't see it. Look closer."
Vogel's eyes narrowed. One was not like the other. It was a fiery slit in an otherwise black retina, blind to one world but not the other.
"A plume of smoke. There are fires burning everywhere in this city." "It's them,"
Narek assured him, opening up the vox again to converse with their pilot.
"Sask," he said, "find us a place to land nearby."
"Why don't we simply strafe their new stronghold," suggested Narek, "then rake through the rubble to finish them?"
Narek shook his head.
"No, I want to be sure they're all present. Besides, ramping up our engines to attack speed would alert them to our presence. They have a weapon mount that took out two buildings. It would have no difficulty shooting us down, and then we would be the ones being searched for amongst the wreckage. We set down near here." he decided. Go in slow and quiet, on foot.
Narlek muttered his agreement. Vogel sat back down.
It matters not to me, uttered Amoresh, who had not ceased sharpening his ritual blade since they had taken off, so long as we get to cut them open and spill their fears at their feet, a feast for the Pantheon.
Dagon snarled in pleasure at the thought. The others, too, all reveled in this idea. Only Narek looked away, out into the dark, and wondered what would await them when they arrived. Numeon sat in silence next to the slowly dying embers of the pyre. Tendrils of smoke were coiling from inside the armored husks of his former brothers. He wondered how long it would be before it was him lying amongst the flames, burning and ending. He was alone, and the factorum floor was dark, barring the glow that remained in the ashes and charred pieces of wood. Only pausing to lay there dead to rest, the others were getting ready to move. News of the human's death had done little to affect the company. Most were in private agreement with Leodrak. Now this man, this John Grammaticus, would be left behind like the rest, and his secrets would die with him. Numeon clasped an icon of a small hammer in his fist. It was partly fire-blackened, and the piece of chain that had once attached it to a suit of armor was broken.
I still have hope. I still believe you live, he said to the shadows.
His eyes then strayed to the fire that filled the air around him with its dulcet crackling, reminding him of the day they had been wrested apart.